specific to time management. Is that what I'm hearing, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nina, that Anita, that's your one of your goals is to figure that out with me.
Whether we can touch on that. Yeah, and maybe if we don't touch on that, Joe, maybe that's something that Tom and I can talk about, even developing a class specifically around time management.
Okay.
And some of the.
I didn't know if that was what kind of was going to be the primary focus of this talk or not, but that's kind of what I read into it. In the thing.
Well, Tom, if you have any wisdom when we do start talking about how you've leveraged technology in your business, and if you have maybe a few pointers around that specific to time management, that's great.
Okay.
That probably won't be the primary focus of tonight's call, but we would certainly like to help you satisfy that desire to get more information so we can talk to you even outside of the call and see if we can help you out with that.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'm familiar with what Tom does.
What is your name?
This is Nancy. I'm not familiar with Daredreamers.
Oh, okay. Well, I can talk a little bit about that, and I can also give you the website.
Okay.
So.
Well, we should probably get started, Anita.
We should, because we could spend 2 hours. Tom and I, when we get on the phone, we talk and talk and talk and talk. So we have a lot of information that we do want to delve into tonight. So I am going to go ahead and mute the call, and then at 9 o'clock, what we'll do is we'll come off mute and we'll open it up to some additional questions and answers for about 10 minutes after that. Does that sound good to everybody?
Super.
Okay. Okay, Tom, you still there?
Still here.
Very good. See, now this is amazing because I actually am on a headset on a cell phone connected to a recording device in a hotel room 6 hours from my house. So if that's not... If that doesn't leverage technology, I don't know what does.
Yes.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the fourth interview in this exciting and dynamic Five Who Thrive series. It really has evolved into something much greater than I initially ever dreamed. My name is Anita Patik-Law. I am the owner of Annapolis, Maryland-based Daredreamers and Power of My Way Coaching. I'm also co-founder of Toronto, Canada-based Self-Management Coaching, a firm that specializes in performance coaching for Fortune 500 companies, and we serve also independent and internal coaches. We provide them with coach training and certification. So tonight's guest is Tom Heck. He is the founder of TeachMeTeamwork.com, and I reached out to Tom. Actually, I've been receiving his online newsletter for a couple of years now, and he really has emerged as one of the foremost leaders in the field of experiential learning, both in team and leadership development. Tom, you have a fun bio. I have to say the thing that really struck me as the biggest interest was that you built a giant slingshot to launch watermelons.
This is true, and I have photos to prove it.
Are they posted on your website or your blog?
I need to do that. At one point, they were up there, and so now after this call, I'm going to have to put them up there again. I might even provide some how to do it yourself instructions. So
video.
Yeah.
Now that could be an interesting team building.
Well, there's some other odd things. I had a byline for a while, Anita, that said, the oddest normal person you'll know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Tom, you have really grown immensely over the last few years. For your own, you have a free team building games newsletter, which is available on teachmeteamwork.com, and you have over 17,000 subscribers there, members in 74 countries. You are a team and leadership coach to people all around the world, and you've launched only in December of 2002, this particular aspect of your business.
Yes.
You have an amazing set of products, including numerous multimedia training CDs, and you won a Teacher's Choice Award in 2005, which is, that's pretty impressive. And you are the inventor of 15 team-building games, licensed to a number of companies and sold worldwide. And I think what's most exciting in your recent history is that you co-authored a new book called Team Building Puzzles, which is also available on your website.
Yes.
So I could go in and I could spend a lot of time talking about other things about Tom, but I'd like us to get into the meat of this interview. Tonight Tom's actually going to share some information on the evolution of his business and then why and how he reinvented his training and development business back in 2002 and how he has truly created the life and business of his dreams.
Well, I guess what a great introduction. Thank you. I feel as though you've introduced somebody else, but I can lay claim to all of those things that you said. So what a delight. Yes, it's and I'm so happy to be here. And I got to tell everyone that when you initially called, Anita, I said, oh, no, I'm not interested in that call or doing this interview because... this is not typically a subject that I talk about. A group will call me up or someone will say, hey, I need some coaching around a group that they're working with. So it's usually most of my work it tends to involve teams or leadership development. But I sort of see tonight as an opportunity to take a peek behind the curtain, so to speak. A subject that I my wife and I talk about the evolution and kind of see and some of my close friends and yet here we are. I'm about to share some of the kind of the history of and the evolution of my business. So I'm excited to do that and I'm tickled that someone out there might actually say, "Gosh, you know that helped me." So if I can do that, that's wonderful.
Well, and it was interesting when I was looking at developing this series, I identified who has had an influence in the evolution of my own business and in how I do business. And I selected five people. We interviewed Alexandria Brown, who's known as the Easy and Queen, and it's interesting because for her as well, I did not ask to interview her about easing. So she was quite tickled too, and in fact I shared with you earlier today, Tom, that that interview is actually going to end up turning into a book because she really talked about her seven principles for success in developing her business. And then of course we interviewed Dr. Joe Vitale, who is the author of best-selling new book called The Attractor Factor, and then Paula Langus Ryan, who is a prosperity expert and coach. And now you. Now we've got Rob Levitt coming up next week, who talks about creativity. But
yes.
So anyway, I'm honored. And what was really exciting was everybody said yes. So nobody was a second or third or fourth choice. So.
Well, I'm wondering where to start. I mean, when we started looking at this as to where I could add value, and I know that you and I had conversations about the shift, you know, using technology. And so maybe I can share how I was not technologically oriented when I started my business.
Because you started it originally, a training and development business, about 9 years ago.
Right. Just traveling from one point to another, working with one group, you know, and finding another group. So, it's definitely the trading time for money a scenario that Robert Kiyosaki talks about in his book Rich Dad Poor Dad. And by the way, that I wrote down prior to this call some of the shifts that were important for me to get to where I am right now, and one of them is reading that book.
Yeah.
And then he also has a book a board game called Cash Flow 101. And playing that game the first time was right before I bought that game, and then played it prior to actually launching my website. I'd kind of been thinking about the website and working on a design for the website. And I should probably talk a little bit about the website here in a minute. For those who haven't visited, it's teachmeteamwork.com. But playing that game helped me realize, I mean, literally, I could not sleep that night after playing the game and realized how important it was to get that going. And I had a lot of other things pointing me towards, you know, getting this, moving in this direction. And when I say this direction, moving in a direction of literally one-on-one contact to deliver programs and services to you know, where I am right now is just yesterday I got an order for 35 of my multimedia CDs, actually the one that won the Teacher's Choice Award, and that was through an alliance with a guy who built a product called Tubies. And he thought it was a toy, and someone said, hey, I could use this for team building. He found me on the net and asked me to write an activity guide for it. And I, instead of writing a paper guide, I created a multimedia training CD for him. And so we developed an alliance. And lo and behold, unbeknownst to me, he had submitted that CD and his product to an organization, and it won this Teacher's Choice Award, which was, he sent me an email, and Joe Donahue is his name, and he sent me this email and said, hey, guess what? Your CD just won an award. So,
cool.
To move from, I think that one of the things I'd like to share is moving, making the shift from one-on-one delivery, you know, going from one contractor, you know, because I suspect that there are a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this recording, that there, the design, at the time I didn't know how I was going to do it, but playing that game Cashflow 101 helped me get the fire going to really make it a priority, an absolute priority. So yeah, the 9 years ago I had just left working for the YMCA. I was a senior program director for 5 years, where I was doing lots of team building programs every day, practically every day, either in a high ropes course or in a school, or and 90% of the work I was doing was with adults. I'm sorry, with children and school age children, and then 10% of it was with adults. And prior to that, I was a high school teacher, and prior to that, I was a juvenile corrections officer. And there's actually one, there's a the missing year in there between my first real job and graduating college, and I was actually a professional performing artist for a year.
Were you really? What kind of performing art?
I was with a group, a clogging group, which is Southern Appalachian's percussive dance thing, and I just did it as a hobby in college and learned to play the banjo and never thought anything of it. And the next thing I know, I graduated from college and intend to go on to get to work as a teacher, and I get this call that says, hey, come try out for this group, we do this professionally. And I thought, man, that's going to look good on a resume right there.
Award-winning banjo player.
Yes.
Did you do clogging as well?
Yeah, I danced and played the banjo. So it was just kind of one of those odd things to do. And so all of those things leading up to being self-employed were, and even initially moving into being self-employed, it was all about, you know, trading time for dollars, working for somebody or working for myself, and getting paid and then going back out and working again. And so really the...
And you were very successful.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes I look back and I think, 9 years that I've been working for myself, how did that happen? It just... I'm actually not sure how that happened. It just seems like yesterday in some respects. And then, and I had shared this with you, there, a major shift happened for me, and that was September 11th, 2001. And I was driving from Asheville, North Carolina, in the western part of the state, 8 hours across the state to the other side of the state. That morning, I was leaving to go lead a workshop with two other people. It was a 4-day workshop, an intensive here's how to lead team building activities, you know, sort of more of the same of what I've been doing all along. And 30 minutes into my drive, I hadn't listened to the news, I hadn't gone online to take a look at the news either, and I got in my car. I was so focused on the drive that, you know, it was 30 minutes in, I turned on the radio, and the first tower was coming down. pulled over. Of course, I was, you know, in shock and called my wife, and I called out to the conference facility. Well, most of the people who were going to attend this conference, they were there because most of them had flown in for a pre-conference. So they were stuck. They, you know, the airports were all shut down, and we decided to go ahead with the with this training. And so for 8 hours, I drove across the state thinking, I'm going to have to play a bigger game. But
Can I ask you a question? When you say I have to play a bigger game, what was your picture of the bigger game?
This was the problem is that. I was struggling with, okay, leading more workshops and being on the road more. Well, I have two children. One's a 6-year-old son and a 18-month-old daughter. And when my son took his first steps, I was in Dallas, Texas at a hotel getting ready to lead a workshop the next day. And my wife calls me up and says, guess what your son just did? You know, took his first steps. And I thought, you know, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be on the road while my son is growing up, you know, having these important events. So here I was, you know, back in the same place of trying to figure out how can I be a great parent, be a great husband, and still do this important work that I felt really drawn to. And this is actually why I started doing the coaching thing, because I'd actually hired a coach during my branding, you know, trying to figure out the Tom Heck brand. And he kept on saying for the year and a half that I'd hired him, he said, you know, Tom, I really think that there's something here in this team building thing. And I said, no, I'm done with that. I'm going to be a coach so I can stay at home and work on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he kept on saying team stuff. No, I'm done with that. And I kept on going back to it. So I was struggling with, how can I be a great, you know, have a life at home and you know, I play sports and I'd like to, you know, volunteer as a referee and, you know, in youth programs and whatnot and do these things. And, you know, and then here comes 9/11 and I feel like that message was, to me personally, was if there is ever a time where we need to help people learn team skills, it's now. We need to learn how to work together. So I drove across the state with this huge struggle, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna write a book. That's what I'm gonna do.
Reach out to millions.
Figure out a way to duplicate myself. But then I thought, well, books and, you know, I gotta have a video accompany it. Okay, now we're starting to make the shift into technology. And I thought, well, I've never done anything with video. I don't know anything about video. And then I did the program while I'm there, and it was a great program. Oh my gosh, it was just, you know, everybody felt like they were in the perfect place at the perfect time, learning the perfect material. And then I drove 8 hours back, and I thought, okay, I commit to doing this, figuring this out. And I got back, and I said, okay, I'm going to write a book that will be accompanied by a video. You know, I was kind of envisioning a VHS wrapped up thing, but I didn't know how to do any of that, and so I started making some calls and about how to do edit video, and I met somebody at a coaching conference. His name's Blair Hornbuckle. What a great name! And he specializes in video, but here's the kicker: he does video to the web. I didn't pay any attention to that, to the web part. You know, all I wanted to know is how to do video and edit it on a computer. Mm-hmm. And so he starts giving me these pointers and, you know, and I start down the road, still not knowing what I'm going to do with this video, just waking up every day knowing that I had to do something, again, playing a bigger game. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Because what I sense is that underlying this shift was a major change in your own values. Is that correct?
I think that the shift was the moving away from, okay, I got to get rid of the team building because I had falsely associated that which I love to do with being divisive with my family life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important for me that I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that one I wanted to have, you know, be around and be present in my son's life. In a recent post on my blog, I wrote that, you know, my dad was absent for a lot of my childhood, and I didn't want to do that with my children. And so but at the same time, every day I turn on the news and I thought, I can do this. I can help. I've got something to offer in this arena. And so I was going back and forth, and then I realized, working on the video, that through the technology, through the web, and through the, you know, what we're using right now, the telephone, that I could begin to reach people
in an entirely different way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the floodgates opened. And then also, at the time, one of the people that I was so inspired by is a guy named Thomas Leonard, who passed away a couple of years ago, who's the founder of Coach University and CoachVille.com. And Thomas, just watching him and having an opportunity to communicate back and forth and telling them what I was up to in my project, I began to see what was possible in providing information that was dynamic and always being able to upgrade. I think that's, you know, going back to the book, what I didn't like about the book idea was that, you know, where was the audio and the video and the color pictures and all of this stuff that I wanted to get across.
Experience.
Exactly. If I couldn't have that person in a workshop, how close could I get to the workshop and communicating the passion and having the flexibility? If I couldn't get them in a live workshop, what could I do? And that's where the web is just an amazing tool. So started, you know, just created the website, not really knowing what to do or how to price it. You know, I can share the pricing models of how I've evolved and experimented and learned from, you know, the different pricing models. I know that we've got someone on the call that is considering, you know, building a membership-based site. And so there's that's sort of the evolution there, looking at those, you know, the 9/11 and Thomas Leonard and Robert Kiyosaki, and moving towards having products out there that, well, one, can help me reach more people, and two, create passive revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a big one. There are a lot of entrepreneurs on the phone who are in the business of trading time for money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for many people, they trade a job for another job. And, you know, I know even for me that there are days where I'll put in, you know, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, and I'm in productive time.
Yes.
And so the use of technology for you, what I'm hearing is that it allowed you to leverage your passion and your strengths in working and contributing to team building and leadership in an entirely different way that enabled you to actually create more balance in your life.
It has, and I've had to learn how to, you know, when I first started the website, learning how to create the balance, because my acupuncturist says, Tom, you've got the passion disease sometimes. You know, I just, like you, I still sometimes look at the clock and I say, it's 1 o'clock in the morning? How did that happen? You know, and then there's the great thing, though, is that, you know, last week I was in New Jersey delivering a program. I got home and spent the rest of the day with my family. And then the next day, I spent the whole day, most of it, with my six-year-old son. And then in the late afternoon, we live near a lake, and We've got a Hobie cat, catamaran, small catamaran, and went over and sailed in the lake and then went out to eat pizza. And I thought, and, you know, it wasn't a weekend. It was, and then I got back home, and lo and behold, there, I had made some sales of product while I was out recreating. And I thought, what a wonderful thing.
Amazing. And now let me, I have to ask you this. When doing that, were you without guilt?
Yes, I was without guilt. I think having... being with my six-year-old son, if nothing else, he teaches me being in the moment, and my daughter, who's 18 months old, is, you know, she's really in the moment, and so when I spend time with them, it is much easier for me to not have any of that guilt. Though I know what you're talking about and why you've said that, because I have felt that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and mostly, though, when I was working for other people,
right?
Oddly enough, when I would take a day off, or, you know, when I was a classroom teacher, you know, I'd take a day off, and I would feel guilty, you know, that I wasn't there. My level of commitment to the kids, to my students, you know, I felt like it was lacking, you know, it's that guilt thing. And now I know that I'm you know, reaching people and able to help people 24 hours a day.
So let me ask you, because I think also with many of the entrepreneurs, in particular solo entrepreneurs or people that just have a small staff, we're spending time developing business and we're spending time providing the service
mm-hmm.
of our business. So can you tell us specifically your favorite technological tools? And then how you leverage them to develop business and provide the service.
Gosh, my favorite is actually the one we're using right now. And it's the telephone and recording the call. And so, you know, this call is being recorded so other people can listen to it. One of the things that I discovered, you know, when I was building my teachmeteamwork.com, I wanted to make it a multimedia, you know, training venue and have lots of resources on there. Initially, I thought I'd have, like, you know, 10 or 15 audio interviews on the site. And as I did it, what I realized is I really like interviewing people.
I do, too. Yeah.
And recording it and it's and finding people who love what they do and talking to them about it is such a joy. I discovered sort of by accident. I knew I liked to talk to people and help people, but to interview them, I think that that's been the greatest leveraging point. And so now I've done, I don't know, 45, you know, interviews with different people. So I've got hours of interviews that I've done with people. And
are available on your website.
Yeah, available on my website. I've and then recently, you know, transcribing some so, you know, people who can't hear it can read it,
mm-hmm.
That type of thing. So it turned, you know, 30 minutes or even an hour can turn into a lot of pages of text. So.
And so all you need for that is a good telephone, a great headset. I'll tell you what, I love headsets.
Yes.
I'm having a love affair with my headset, and every now and then when it breaks, I almost feel sad. You know, I go through headsets pretty quickly.
Yes.
And then let me ask you, just for some people that may be interested, because we're also recording this call.
Yes.
And talk to us. Like, do you have a favorite device for recording?
Well, it's interesting. I've had an evolution there. One of the if you go to my website and, you know, sign up for the electronic updates and whatnot, one of the things you get for free is an interview with Dr. Ken Blanchard, who, you know, by many is a lot of people consider him to be the father of, you know, team building and leadership, and early on, he was one of the first people I interviewed, and I gotta say that he was so gracious. I called up, you know, his office, and I had an opportunity. They created an opportunity for me to interview him, and so during the interview, I was recording using a cassette tape recorder, right? Well, I get off the phone, and guess what? The initial part of the recording, as I'm playing it back to listen to it, is bad.
Oh,
and luckily, it got the recording, the recorder repaired itself, I don't know, the moment after I introduced him. You know, my whole introduction to him was just blurry. You couldn't hardly understand it. And then he starts talking, and it worked the rest of the way, and I thought, oh, my gosh. That was a close call, and I thought, I don't want to have to call up Dr. Ken Blanchard and say, hey, the recording didn't work.
Can we re-record it?
The level of confidence, his confidence in me would, I would suspect, drop at least a little bit. So I quickly made a shift to having a backup. So now when I record things, I have the cassette, and I record digitally at the same time.
Oh, nice. Oh, so you have two?
I have two. I have a backup. And so, you know, and so I convert the interviews into MP3 files and upload them to the web, and there is another technological piece is I made a shift from sending out, and this is a shift I made just I don't know 2 or 3 months ago, from sending out an e-newsletter to publishing a blog, a weblog, and so and in fact, you know, I how did I learn how to do that? I found a great resource. So if anybody out there is interested in how do you blog, why do you blog, and
what's your resource?
Oh, the resource. It's a great website, and it's called EasyBakeWeblogs.com. It's a guy up in Chicago, Andy. Is his name, and he's got this great ebook. I bought it and read it, and the next day I was up blogging. It makes it that easy, and you know, I pay use a service called typepad.com that is so easy to use, and you know, uploading pictures, uploading audio files, PDFs. You know, if you go to my weblog, it's Tom Heck .blogs.com. So TOMHECK.BLOGS.com. And you can see, you know, that prior to doing that, I had no experience doing blogs. I, you know, and I have a confession to make, Anita. I don't even know how to make a web page. I don't know HTML. I don't know any of that.
But this one's easy.
EasyBakeWeblogs.com he's got an ebook that will teach you how to do it.
Okay.
Very simple, very easy. And I have fun with my blog and posting stuff. So, you know, posting audio files, just it's a snap. It's so easy.
Yeah, I called Tom this morning because I was really having trouble uploading mine to my website.
Yes.
And you said to go and get iTunes for PCs.
Yes.
Well, no, first you said get an iMac G5, which we will do next week.
Yeah.
We have a recording studio, and we're doing more and more work that we want to post up on the web. So I'm going to get that resource. So just download iTunes for PCs, and
mm-hmm.
you said that I can. You can record an uncompressed file, which is just huge, and then import it into iTunes and convert it to any size.
Right. It's such an easy thing to do, because compressing a file to upload it to the web, you know, an hour-long audio interview as an MP3 uncompressed is super large, like easily over 100 megabytes, and you wouldn't want to try to download that or listen to something like that, but compressed it could be around, you know, 8 or 10 megabytes or smaller, even depending on the level of compression. I think the point, you know, talking about compression and, you know, programs and whatnot, being someone who I guess I'm not so afraid of technology, but more than that, what I do is I say, okay, how can I do this one time? How can I deal with this issue one time and be able to move on? So, for example, I became an Apple Macintosh convert when I started working on the video for my website. And at the suggestion of Blair Hornbuckle, he told me, and this is, I find this humorous, and he does too, when I first hired him to consult, advise me, he said, okay, Tom, the first thing you need to do is get an Apple, and you're going to need to get this configuration. As soon as I hung up the phone, what did I order? A Sony. And had it for 6 days. It was such a pain to use. I shipped it back. The Apple arrived on a Friday, I'll not forget, the Friday before my son's birthday, right? And on Saturday, I filmed the birthday. Saturday evening, not having any experience of doing digital video, right? I imported it and
wasn't that cool?
And edited it. Not only did I edit it, I burned it to a CD in a compressed QuickTime file and then handed it to my wife so she could play it on her PC.
Oh, wasn't that awesome?
And I did
with no experience
and had music and titles and all this stuff, and I thought, okay, that's why I need it. There's a program called iMovie that Apple makes. It's a proprietary program that they have. It's award-winning program. It's just so easy to use. And so, you know, when I go do video shoots, I got all these video files on my website. You know, I just shoot the video, import it into iMovie, edit it, you know, make it short and sweet and so that people can see how to do the team-building activity. I pull photos from that. I used to take digital photos of the team-building sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And stopped. And then when I realized I could just grab any image I wanted off of the iMovie thing, and then I was all done.
And so do you have a favorite? Now we've heard about your favorite computer and programs.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite video camera?
You know, here's the crazy thing is that I still have an analog video camera. In other words, it's not digital. I have a device that converts the analog into digital. But, you know, you can buy a fantastic digital video camera. Canon, I know, makes some for, you know, $400, which is, you know, amazing for what you can do. Now, let me give you an example of even if you don't have that. So I have a friend, Nina East, a coach. And she once told me, you know, a quote that she heard, never do anything unless you can figure out three ways to earn money from it. Well, she had just told me that.
I was just going to ask you to gauge what your return on investment has been since moving to technology, but finish your story.
Okay, so the week she told me that, I had just received a notification that I was accepted to speak at an International Coach Federation regional conference, right? So I started thinking about what Nina said, and I said, okay, what I'm going to do, my workshop at this coaching conference is in Richmond, Virginia. It's about 8 hours from me. And I thought, you know what would be great is if I could videotape myself at this workshop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was is I didn't have a digital video camera. I didn't have a video camera at all at the time. And so what I did is I got on the web and looked for universities in Richmond.
Oh.
Well, I found out that this one university right downtown, right almost where the conference was being held at a hotel, was a university that had a graphic arts, you know, major and videography, right? So I send them an email and say, hey, is there any way that I could send you a flyer that you could post? And again, I'm only a week out from showing up at this conference. Is there any way that you could post this flyer? I'm looking to hire somebody to videotape an hour and 15-minute workshop I'm doing at this hotel. And they said, sure, we'll do that. So I made up a quick flyer, sent it to them, just a Word document. And they posted it. The same day, three people call up.
Awesome.
Three different students. and I interview them. I pick one who just seems, you know, he's a senior, and here was the deal. You show up, I'll pay for the videotapes, and I'll also pay you $100 to videotape me. Just keep the tape rolling. Handheld, you know, whatever. So he videotapes me doing this workshop, and I created a product out of it. I edit it, just real simple editing on iMovie, and it's something, it's called How to Make Your Workshop Come Alive, right? And so, you know, now I sell them, and I also pulled out segments that I use on my member-based website. So, you know, now I've got pictures of me in front of groups of people and whatnot. So at the end of the hour and 15 minutes, he hands me the cassettes. I hand him the money. See you later. Thank you very much. That was great. Nice doing business with you.
So talk about this, the return on investment, because as you made this shift, mm-hmm. I mean, we know that some of that return is the priceless stuff, like on the MasterCard commercial, right?
Right.
Time with family, time with son, being able to go to lacrosse games and coach.
Yes.
But from the entrepreneur's standpoint, what could you gauge your return of investment to be since moving into technology?
Well, using technology to leverage my time and energy, gosh, I don't even know that. That's a great question. I haven't been asked that question. All I can do is give you examples of, well, like yesterday, I received an order for, you know, $600 worth of CDs. I come down to my office, and that's one of the first emails I see. Wow, that's great. That happened overnight. And so, you know, that those CDs are going to go out and help people learn how to do their work better. And then there's the situations where, you know, now because of my website here's a classic example. Earlier this week I had a coaching client in Australia. This is amazing to me. And I've worked with her several times. Her name's Mandy, and you can see a quote from her on my coaching portion of my website. And she is just, you know, goes out and leads these workshops and wants to include experiential components into them. Well, we get on the phone together. Again, it's the next day. When we're talking, it's the next day in Australia. We're both logged into my website, looking at the same video clips and pictures, and I can say, okay, Mandy, do you see that portion right there? Okay, change that. Okay, and when you're working with your group, and now tell me how you could do that with a book. And how could she find me with a book? And I've got lots of examples like that, you know, people in different parts of the world who I've been on the phone with, training them through the website and doing coaching and consulting, that I'm essentially at my house on the phone, you know.
And I love the added component, because I know for me, with I also have probably too many coaching clients right now, but you only have that phone interaction so often.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you're really using your website as an interactive tool in those coaching sessions.
Yes. And it makes a world of difference, because we pop around, the information is instantly available to them, and I can support people real time. And then also doing, you know, teleconferences and coaching teams of over the phone. The big shift, you know, so going back to your question, what's happened is my whole mindset was find a group, go to the group, deliver the program to the group, come back home, find a new group, you know?
Right. Unpack or keep the bag packed.
And now it's not like I don't travel. I'm headed to Texas next week to speak to 350 teachers. And now when I travel, here's the big difference, is I say to myself, okay, how can I really leverage this trip? And is this a group that, you know, that I can really make my trip away from home important enough, you know, to be away from my children and my wife.
Well, and even share that experience of that particular trip with other people.
Right.
Later.
Well, exactly. So, you know, I am going to give a keynote presentation and two other workshops while I'm at the conference, and so I'm looking for someone to videotape that and at least audio tape it. So I have sound bites, and maybe I'll end up with a product out of it. You know, maybe I'll end up with an interesting sound bite, or, you know, who knows. And you asked earlier what was one of my favorite tools or products, or I guess I mentioned one of them is the telephone. I think that the other is this idea of being able to provide documents and audio, you know, whatever I want to, instantaneously, you know, by uploading them so easily, which is what the blog allows me to do, and then more complicated when I put it up to my website.
But the blog, you can do that on your own. You just need your web designer.
That's my other, has become my other favorite tool, is my blog. Yeah.
And so again, if people want to check out Tom's blog, go to www.tomheck.blogs.com, and your other website is www.teachmeteamwork.com, and they can take a look at some of what you've been talking about today,
yes,
or at least what you've been able to produce with technology.
Yeah, and you know, it's just real quickly, there were some people who I know on the call who might be interested in moving in the direction of creating a member-based site. Again, for me, I had no experience doing it. I didn't know what I was doing. I kind of looked at Coachville at the time, which was $79 for a lifetime membership. And so I created my site for $19.95 for a lifetime membership.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is a true story. I got a call one time from a country in Scandinavia, and it was an American who was working over there for a company. And here's why she called me up. She found my site on the web, and she called me up and said, I just wanted to see if you were for real, because the price and what you're offering didn't seem to be right. You know, and that was one of my first indicators that I had something wrong with my pricing.
Oh yeah. So what is your price today?
So my price today, I have two options. I have a yearly option of $169 a year for a membership, and then also a monthly membership of $12 a month. And I've experimented. Went from $19.95 a year, or lifetime rather, to $29.95 for a lifetime, to $39.95 for a lifetime, and it's one of these things. As you know, some people say, well, what's the best price? And you know, I've got a friend, Andrea Lee, who's a Canadian and a coach, and she, you know, one of the things that she talks a lot about is testing. You know, is the right price is the price that works best. Well, how do you know which price works best?
Yeah,
well,
because low pricing, actually people will think that it's not a good value.
They can perceive it as not a good value. And you know, so there is I'm still learning, you know, about writing copyright for the web and presenting the information. I'm giving my site a facelift right now that I'm hoping will be active in early July. But I think my friend Blair that I mentioned earlier had gone to a web development or doing business on the web, an e-business conference, and it was really expensive, thousands of dollars, right? So
yeah.
I said, so. Tell me, what was the big message? And he said, hands down, here was the message. You ready, Tom? Ready, fire, aim. And he said, for the web, this is one of the great things is that you put it up, it doesn't work, change it. You know, it's unlike a book. You know, it's hard to recall, you know, 20,000 books and just, you know, I don't like that chapter. The great thing about the web is that it allows for testing.
Well, and I think people, especially in a member site, there's an expectation that that website's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's and it's going to be fluid. And every time people go to it, they're going to see some new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that is an important aspect of having a membership site, is that you do add things to it.
Yes.
Is that correct?
It is. And you know, the membership thing works for me. And may not work for everybody. And I've had people say, Tom, you know, what you should do is package everything up into little components rather than make a membership site. So there's different thoughts out there, you know. But again, I think the big message is to get out there and fire. You know, just rather than ready or ready aim fire or ready aim, but it's ready fire. Aim and see what happens.
Test and learn from mistakes.
Being committed to the project. You know, I think that's what I'm committed to, is that I'm willing to make the mistakes and learn from it, and however much time it takes. So,
Tom, I have two more questions that I want to ask before we. Invite people to ask you some questions.
Yes.
One is, you know, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs and people who are trying to build their businesses or redefine their businesses, probably many people identify with wanting to create more balance. What advice would you give to these folks in the bigger picture of work-life design?
Oh, boy, I wish I could say that I'm a master of it. I think that the number one thing is to just decide that it is important. And for me, early on, I got pretty out of balance when I was, you know, first starting my business, you know, before kids, and it was easier. And, you know, if my kids have taught me anything, is that, you know, now is the time. And so, you know, when I come home from a trip, I look at my inbox. I know I do answer my email when I travel, and I love wireless internet. Man, I love wireless internet. But so I think, okay, someone once told me that I'll never miss an opportunity. And that's one of my beliefs, is that I will never miss an opportunity that I'm meant to have. So what that means for me is that, you know, when I'm spending time with my kids, and a friend of mine says, you know, it's really an investment in your kids, is that I'm not going to miss anything on the business side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I spend all my time working on my business and become totally focused on that, I will, and I do, miss out on opportunities. And so that is just flat out a priority to me. So even if I don't know how, I say, okay, I'm going to do it.
And deciding it's important.
Yeah.
Last night it was funny. I had promised my daughters, we do something called cuddle night, and I said, I promise I'll be in there. We'll cuddle at 8:00. And of course it was 8:15. I'm trying to wrap up things there to
mm-hmm.
head out of town, and my 9-year-old is so upset. You lied, you broke your promise.
Mm.
And my 11-year-old says, she didn't lie, she just delayed. But I do a lot of that. And I think that technology can really help us to you know, create that balance if we're using it in a smart way, right? And not just, I think, not the shotgun approach. You're very focused. You know what your purpose and your focus is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and learning how to let the answering machine do its job. And you know, developing systems like autoresponders that can answer questions or, you know, help areas, so that a lot of the things that you find yourself, if you're having to do it several times, there's got to be a system to help you with that. So,
well, I'll tell you what, and I know we need to turn this over to some questions. My virtual assistant has been a godsend.
Yes.
So if anybody wants the name of a great virtual assistant, just email me at anita@dare-dreamers.com. I would love to recommend Terry Remine. She's out in California, actually.
Aren't virtual assistants great?
Oh, amazing.
I love that.
She takes care of all the shopping carts and the autoresponders and, you know, things that at this point I just don't have time to
right.
learn or do.
And people, when I talk to them sometimes about these topics, everybody assumes that I know everything there is about this technological stuff, but a lot of it is finding people that can do it better than you and leveraging what you do best.
Right.
So
and I think that's key.
Yeah.
That's key as well. Well, before we turn it over to questions, I just want to remind everybody, please check out Tom's website at www.teachmeteamwork.com and his blog at www.tomheck.blogs.com. Next week, we interview Rob Levitt. He is just a master of creativity, and I would invite you to take a look at registering for that particular interview. He will totally change the way you think about creativity. You can go to www.powerofmyway.com, and my main website is actually www.dare-dreamers.com. So check both of those out. Tom, I know you also have a book, your new book, which is exciting, and that information is also posted on your website.
Yes, teambuildingpuzzles.com. You can find it there. And if you look for the post on my blog, however, I've got a special deal in there. So you'll find a post in there where I've built a special secret website for the people who hear this recording. But you have to go to my blog and look for it. It's a
okay.
post there just about the Team Building Puzzles book.
Oh, good. And that was actually one where you co-wrote with a couple other people, never have met them, leveraging technology.
It's what an awesome thing. 300-page
yeah.
book, working in four different cities.
That's awesome. Well, let me open up the lines for questions. Okay.
Hello, Anita.
Hello.
Hi, this is Carson in New York City.
Hi.
Hi, Carson.
I have a question for both Anita and Tom. What would you recommend as far as headsets? I know, Anita, yours sounds fantastic.
Oh, hey, honey, what brand is... I have to ask my husband. What brand headset is this? Wait, hold on. Let me take it off.
Hello Direct, I will say this, sells some great headsets, and probably if you're not spending... in my experience, at least $100 on a headset is probably not too good a headset.
Do you think the wireless is better?
I use a wired headset.
Yeah, I use a wired headset also because it enables me to plug it into the recording devices and the phone. This one that I'm using right now is called a Plantronics, and believe it or not, I'm on a cell phone.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What other questions?
Anybody else?
Hey, Anita and Tom, this is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
The question I have for Tom is, would you tell me the one thing that you would do, that's question number one, and the second question is you would not do again as it relates to leveraging technology?
Oh, gosh, the one thing I would do is the one thing I would do right now is I would to look at technologies. I would explore the world of blogs as far as a way to get information out quickly and easily, and to build a to build content like that. That would be one different than that wasn't an option when I started my site.
Okay.
Not that I wouldn't start it. But if it's all relatively brand new to you and you're looking for an easy way to work with it, that would be one. One thing I would not do is wait. Oh, I have a friend who has got some fantastic ideas and just keeps... He's a ready aim, and he's always got another great ideas, and I keep waiting. And I say, would you just get something out there?
Can I ask a follow-on to that, please?
Sure.
What is the single biggest obstacle that you had to overcome from a personal perspective to fire?
To what?
The fire.
The fire?
Yes.
The single biggest obstacle to having the fire?
I'd love to answer that question, too.
The single biggest obstacle for me was throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Meaning that when I hired my coach, at the time it was a guy named Dave Buck, who's heads up Coachville. Great coach, great branding coach. I thought that in order for me to move forward, I had to abandon what I love to do, because I associated team building and team training and all of that with being away from my family.
Okay.
And I didn't understand. I didn't open my eyes to the possibilities, because I resisted it. I was just flat out resisting it.
So what was the emotional trigger that opened your eyes and your ears?
Well, I think there was the two things. One was 9/11, and realizing that now is the time to teach team skills, and I got to do something, and it's got to be big, and then the other thing was playing the Cash Flow 101 game by Robert Kiyosaki and reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, and having the realization, oh my gosh, I've been spending my whole life trading time for money.
Yeah. I want to add to that, because I actually worked with a Rich Dad coach. I worked with a Robert Kiyosaki coach for many months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, her name is Holly Tuckett, and also had some similar shifts in my thinking. I think to answer one of Dennis's questions, one of my obstacles has been, and still is, I battle this every day, is wanting to do everything myself. And so to hire, and Tom said something very important that we repeat over and over again in our business, which is identify and leverage your strengths, and then hire people that have strengths that are different from yours and leverage them to grow your business.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, hiring, for example, this virtual assistant is saving me so much time. I mean, I was out in Reading, and she was building what you guys all went in and registered on, and I didn't have to worry about it. But I had to let go of my desire to do it all myself.
Here's a quote I grew up with. If it is to be, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I think that, that's a whole belief system that... I'm the one responsible for doing that. I think the big thing is that you're the one responsible for the vision and getting passionate and tapping into that. And then allowing people into your life that want to help.
And that have the skills.
Yes.
Yeah, and to be able to communicate that vision effectively so that people understand what it is you are trying to create, and most probably more importantly, why.
Yes.
Well, how about we take one more question? And thank you, Dennis. That was those were great questions.
Hey, Tom, this is Joe. I was wondering if you had any experience with virtual teamwork and online collaboration.
I don't have any experience right now with virtual teamwork, but that is a direction that I can see that I'm going to be moving into, because I receive emails about that, saying, okay, how can we do an activity completely virtually? And so I think some of the technology that's right around the corner with being able to see people through video conferencing, and once that gets the technology gets even better, it's going to be really exciting. Right now, I'm not there.
I think the web conferencing is great. It can be pricey. You can check into some things like my go to mypc.com
mm-hmm.
and gotomeeting.com have some pretty inexpensive services that can allow you to access your computer when you're not home, and also allow people onto your own screen, the gotomeeting.com. That's pretty inexpensive. And I'd like to point out a resource that there's one of the Franklin Covey coaches, her name is Sarah Hurd. She puts out a newsletter. You can go to keywaystrategies.com. And she, every issue, publishes information about freeware. She does all this research on different software, different tools that are mind mapping.
Good night.
All sorts of things. So I would check out that website. She's got a lot of good resources on her newsletter.
Sounds like we have a warning beep coming in there.
We have our 2-minute warning, our 1-minute warning here. So I want to thank everybody for joining us in the fourth interview in the 5 Who 5 series. Please visit www.powerofmyway.com and www.air-streamers.com. And, of course, Tom's information is at teachmeteamwork.com. And give me your blog address, tomheck.blog.com. Tom, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. And hopefully you have lots of questions and people visiting the blog and checking out your extra bonus deal for the book.
It's been a pleasure, a real joy. And it's hard to believe an hour and 15 minutes has gone by.
I know, it's quick. Well, I want to thank you and everybody for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
have
you.
A great night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. Fantastic.
Thank you.